Nina would like to hear a summary of the two conversations at lunchtime, so May 1st and then Hung. A brief summary, and then anyone can ask any more questions.
Visible object and hearing. We talked about the same things, Nina, that there can be awareness of realities that are arising now. It was in the context of talking about Ajahn asked after my mother, and I explained that her health was not good, but mentally that she was good. And Ajahn mentioned the invisible hand of Gamma, that we never know what is happening. I suppose that also that expression this morning, behind the scenes, was that we cannot know what is going on. So the conversation was around those topics, and always that what is happening is by conditions. But I was particularly struck by the expression of the invisible hand, that we will make up many stories about what is appearing, but we cannot know. So that was very helpful. That was helpful.
I think the expression, the invisible hand, refers to karma, and we have no idea what karma has been performed in the past or what results it may bring at any moment now. So, like when someone's in poor health, or I think you mentioned like the death of an animal or something, anything, we have no idea what the invisible hand, what results it will bring at any moment.
Or actually the unexpected longevity of a creature, and we're surprised because their life goes on when it looks like they should have died from their illnesses, and I think that was what prompted Ajahn to mention the invisible hand, that we cannot make those assumptions.
Yeah, these moments are the products of the factory plant. Right?
I don't understand.
Okay.
Of which plant?
The factory plant. Okay. Like now, the seeing now, the hearing now, these are the results of all the work done in the past, all the work done in the factory, bringing these results. Yeah. So nothing out of the blue, nothing by chance. It's just the result of all that work done in the factory, and we have no idea what was done in the factory plant before or what results it will bring next.
Can we now be like different dolls? Product of factory plant. Okay.
Yes, I had to think about this a lot when I had that very bad fall in the tramway and broke my hip and all the pain. So I thought of karma. Mm-hmm. So sudden, quite unexpectedly.
Anytime.
I had never expected that this would happen.
Anytime, because when we think in terms of people and situation, actually there are only eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and happenings, seeing, hearing. That's all. Keep on going.
I think it's just a reminder that they're just conditioned dharmas now, that's all. And Han, would you like to give a summary of your discussion?
sorry that I cannot remember exactly what Ajahn said, but it's my understanding that Ajahn said, without any understanding about the Dhamma, still have one to do and something, but with understand the Dhamma, we get the detachment from the reality, what is appearing now, hearing, seeing. And whatever is their attachment or dosa or moha is let panya do, dhamma do, it's their function. And with understanding the dhamma, there's no self, no one to do anything. And a lot, Ajahn remind me a lot, but I forgot it. Yes.
You mentioned to me that you were asking about why learn about the details of cheetahs and cheetah seekers, and what was the answer?
Because it's so complicated when you study cheetah, cheetah seeker, and they work in the process, but Ajahn, there's still no understanding about the Dhamma. And with the understanding the Dhamma, is the panya will grow, will develop gradually, naturally, not oneself to try to understand. Yes.
Not just trying to study or learn all those details.
That's why sometimes I ask, are you forgetting? Yes or no? Forgetting what?
Forgetting reality now.
Mm-hmm. And actually it's gone. No matter moment of being forgetful or not. So live to what? We have to live, just live, but live to what? Just for understanding.
Yesterday, as everyone knows, we had a lot of discussion about all the different kinds of karmapata, starting with killing. So maybe we can bring these up, some of the questions and comments up with Ajahn. So I think Azita, you wanted to start with killing. Would you like to introduce it?
We say that a being is a concept. So when there's killing, what is being killed? What's killing? Who kills what?
Why do we talk about killing? We are not killing now.
No, we're not killing now. but David and I were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, but you don't kill.
Okay, well, let's not say killing. Let's say...
It's you who kill, anyway.
No, but in reality...
Yes, thank you.
What is the reality? We talk about behind the scene. So what's the behind the scene of killing?
Behind the scene are citta, cetasikas, and rupa, that's all. With our citta and cetasikas.
Okay, so what is killed or what is injured?
You know... What about other action, other deeds, not killing?
Well, let's go for generosity, giving.
Again, if there is no Paramada Dhamma, no citta cetasikas, can there be giving? So when we are going to talk about anything, what is there? And what is the most important thing? Without that reality, nothing happens.
Well, that reality has to be either jitta-seeker or rupa.
Includes so everything, every deeds.
Okay, so at the moment of giving, there's kusala jitta.
Again, giving, killing, speaking, talking. What's the difference? Different jittas.
Different jittas, but...
different jittasikas.
Yes.
Do you have the same question regarding kama and vipaka? Anyone's kama? What about the words from the Tipitaka that beings are heirs to their kama? Isn't it the same question?
Well, yes, I think it probably is, because again, we're talking of beings. Beings are the heir of their kama.
A moment ago, we were talking about the factory and the products of the factory, and it's just the same.
Parker is the result of, or the product of the
When we
factory.
Talk about deeds and result, they have to be related to our idea of a being, don't they? That you can't think of deeds and results apart from beings. Ultimately, the deed is the jetana and the result is the vipaka jitta. So whether the deed is giving or killing or whatever, it's still the jetana. But perhaps your focus is on the rest of it, because it's, say, giving is it something given to another person, but then it's still just a reference to the jitta jetta sikha rupa.
What you mentioned, you and David were talking about, is when there is killing, what is it that is killed? Remember that part? You were talking about Chivit Indriya? I can see how it's not what is happening now, what is now. But the question was when one is killed, one dies, it is the, well, I guess it's the jutti jitta arises, and there is no more jivit indriya or other. No, it gets too tangled. You're right. Somehow we were talking about jivit indriya, the faculty of.
And we will never know or understand the reality of killing or reality right now if you sort of keep on thinking about situation.
Right.
We read a lot from Sutta, Vinaya, Abhidhamma, but what do we get from all these words to understand that there is no self and the absolute truth is different realities, the flux of the arising and falling away of all dhatu elements, uncontrollable. So the point is to understand them as not me, not ours at all. No one there. Like now, what appears, see? There's no understanding precisely about the reality which is seen as it is. But we keep on thinking in terms of people and thing and situation. So if we do not have conditions enough to understand what appears now, no understanding of the absolute realities, which is not self. And we'll have doubt and keep on thinking about killing and other situation from this life to other life, keep on thinking and thinking about situations. But it's time to understand whatever appears, because it cannot appear to ignorance at all. That's why the moment when there is the realization that now there is ignorance, and can there be moment with less and less ignorance of seeing? Otherwise we try to do and to follow what we read and heard about this and that all the time, but not of the reality behind the scene. We might have heard a lot about different stories and sutta, past previous lives, but what about understanding whatever appears? But if we understand more about that which appears, then we know that nothing's there, nothing lasts. It's conditioned to arise beyond imagination, how rapid it is. Just arise to see, then that's all. It cannot perform any function, only seeing. Because you see that before a moment of seeing, there is a moment which does not see. Right? And as the moment of seeing, it's not that which performs the function of seeing. It just can experience the same object as that which sees, with vitakka cetasika. Without it, it can experience that which the past moments seen at all. And this is the way to develop the understanding of no self, no matter in what citta. More understanding about the way it is. That's why it received the object passed on, because the previous one conditioned the next one. So it has the same experience by vitakka, think, receive that object by nature. It cannot be other moment, other citta at all. So we talk about the way nama and rupa, citta and cittasika work all the time, with more and more understanding about no self, just to like planting the right view in the citta, in our own citta, little by little, until it can have more right understanding about whatever appears. Otherwise, it's useless to learn a lot with the idea of self. I understand about killing, it has to be jetana, it has to be the being which is killed, and something like that. Because we know already, but we don't know the nature or the absolute reality which place or arise and perform the function at that moment of killing at all. It's not I who kill, what kills. There must be reality which must be citta and cetasika. Otherwise the body cannot do anything at all. And even we say that the body cannot experience anything, it's not deep enough to know that even right now, each move cannot be done without citta and cetasika, because the body doesn't know anything. It arises to be hard, to be sweet, to be heard as sound, as it is. It cannot change its characteristic. It doesn't have any idea. But citta conditions that part or that kind of rupa to move, to speak, see? Only in a split seconds, everything just in split seconds. To know more, understand more about this moment. No matter by way of vinaya, there must be citta cetasikas with such and such jetana or wholesome or unwholesome realities. Suttanta, just one part of samsara. We don't know our previous life, who we were, from time to time. And this is going to be past life of next life. And when one was born, one is born at next life, no idea about this life at all. Even yesterday, who remembers? What did you do? From morning to night, yesterday, all gone completely. What is left? It's there, in citta, the kusala and akusala, which has arisen, never lost, because it conditions the next one. So it passes on every accumulation of kusala and akusala to the other one. So very, very rapidly, comparing with now, how rapid it is. Whenever you see, there is the idea of someone, it's seen, something is seen all the time. Not knowing about that factory, citta and cetasa produce the idea after seeing, then thinking. That's why we learn about the vipaka. It's not the moment of having pain or illness. It is now. And panya can see, and it does not have to name, this is vipaka at all. Because that is thinking, not the moment which is familiar to different nama. Now we use the word nama, but when it is the beginning of understanding reality, no word like nama. Because the characteristic of experiencing is there to be learned to know that it experiences. No matter how many times we talk about nama as citta and cetasikas, or citta and cetasikas are nama, it's useless. If there is no understanding of this moment, the difference between that which is now experiencing and that which is experienced. Because it's only words, and people think that they learn a lot about names, different types of citta and cetasikas, but they don't know that that is not pariyatti. It has to be now. What is now? No need to think about, oh yes, it's nama which sees, or oh yes, it's rupa which is seen. This is only sanya, memory, no understanding. But at moment of experiencing, from learning and accumulation of understanding from time to time, it conditioned the experiencing of reality, which is just a little difference, unnoticeable, if it's not panya, because it's so natural. When we talk about the kayanupasana sthipatthana, vedananupasana sthipatthana, cittanupasana sthipatthana, it seems like there is the awareness of citta. Actually, it's not. It's only thinking about it. As long as sati does not arise, we just think about being aware, but not moment when it is really aware, when it arises. So this is the knowledge which will lead to more and more understanding, deeper and deeper about what we are talking about, like sati or citta or cetasika. And when there is the understanding of reality at that moment, no need to say that seeing is vipaka, because it arises differently from other moment. Just arise by conditions. And after that, thinking a lot, it's not seeing. By understanding that seeing is not thinking at all, one learns to understand different namas, different kinds of nama, not from book, but from experiences. So to understand nama is not from book, but through experiences, with awareness. But when awareness does not arise, it's impossible to really understand that that is not self, and it has its own characteristic. So what's the difference between moment when the experience, the kaya vinyana, we call it that way, experiences hardness, no understanding, as usual like now. But when there's more and more understanding, unexpectedly, awareness arises, so one can understand that moment which arises. And it seems like together, like seeing and hearing, like together. So no need to try like I am trying to be aware for an hour Less than that or more than that. But it's not the understanding at all. So each word of the teachings needs careful study and respectfully, because it's so true, so real, so deep. But there can be the development of understanding of what Buddha was, the enlightened one. What does it mean? Because without his teaching, we will not talk about seeing right now, hearing right now, or the body, or the kaya, or the rupa, as we have learned. But we have to know the point, the purpose of learning or listening, to understand whatever appears, from knowing that no understanding now, but it can be understood, rather than the reality which has fallen away and which hasn't yet come. Because how can there be right understanding of that which does not appear only now? So the patience is there, sincerity or honesty is there, truthfulness is there, with other parami. Not to go wrong, this is the best thing in life.
Thank you. That's a very good answer to my
Because healing is that thinking, drinking, anything. And without studying and developing understanding, nothing can condition direct awareness right now, because it keep on going astray as usual, as it has accumulated. So we learn to understand the difference between seeing and the other vipaka which follows sampaticcana. It needs vitaka, conditioned by kamma and things like that, because it's not moment of thinking. So we can separate or begin to understand vipaka and kusala and akusala, that they are different. And it has to be one's own understanding from experiences, from hearing, considering, and understanding.
How can we understand that seeing is vipaka if we don't learn from the texts or from a good friend?
Even it's used the word vipaka, what about just reality?
But I think one thing that's so interesting is that seeing is so much more complex and amazing than we would understand ordinarily. And to understand that a moment of seeing comes through so many complex conditions is miraculous, and we wouldn't understand it without the Buddha.
What about citta before and citta after seeing?
We wouldn't
not as complex? Or what? It's not seen, it's not known. Can it be more complex? See? That which arises before seeing and that which arises after seeing, are they not complex? Complicated like seeing? Because seeing still can be seen right now, but that cannot be seen. It cannot be known that they are different. It's our idea of ignorance, because there's no understanding of this and of that, so this might be more complicated, something like that.
It's amazing to think that we think visual object is continuing, but there are moments of hearing in amongst all the seeing, and ordinarily we would think it is just seeing is just continuing.
What about the blind?
No seeing.
Mm-hmm. No complex? No.
Everything's
everything.
Complex.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you often mention seeing.
Because usually people think they know or they understand the object of seeing. They just pass the meaning, the reality of visible object. But actually, it's very important because it appears almost all day long. See? No attention, no thinking about it at all. So how can there be the understanding of no self, no being, only the absolute reality which nobody can change? Can you take someone out of visible object? If there is someone in the visible object, take that person out of the visible object. See? That's why citta is the magician.
And the painter, who I remember last time I was here, I don't know if it was Kun Dundung or Kun... somebody had a butterfly that they loved, or a...
Kun
Dundung had a treasure, which was a beautiful butterfly, I think.
Where is that? I haven't seen it.
And we were
I heard the talk recently, and we were talking about how citta is the kama is the painter that creates. As
what
you said,
about if I change the term?
Sorry.
What about I change the term? Instead of saying kama, I said vipaka, mm-hmm. and instead of saying vipaka, I use the word kama. Mm-hmm. See,
it's all a factory. I like.
It's the not image. The understanding of reality mm-hmm. without names at all. No need to name it. But in order to understand it, we have to use different words to express the difference.
I just feel, Ajahn, that for people who are new to the Dhamma, it's good to learn about vipaka. And
by words?
Sure, at first. I believe so.
Only vipaka?
That's just one example that is...
not only vipaka.
But it's people think they can see whatever they want. And they
That's why people cannot tell whether this is vipaka or this is the cause, kusala or akusala. They cannot tell if we don't let them think. Like touching, if one would like to know what Dhamma is, it's there. You like to find, you like to look for it. You try to search or seek, it's here. So we are like the blind, cannot see the truth. What is seen is not the truth. But there is still the idea of someone, of people around here, see? So that is thinking. Different from seeing, but the seeing arise together. And one cannot understand without the teachings of the Buddha, each word. And see whether there can be condition to understand visible object from now on. See? Nobody can control, just want to understand right now. But from hearing and this visible object right now, it begins to know. And understand better and better about the other words of the teaching, like living alone. Otherwise, we live with many people, friends, relatives, all the time, but actually citta arises and falls away alone.
In the dark.
In the dark. Even it's bright and light, no understanding. See? But in darkness, understanding can understand everything which appears. That's why from now on, when you come across visible object from hearing or reading, you know the meaning of it. What is it? Not just the word visible object, but that which can be seen. The only reality that can be seen. No one there. And where is that visible object? Where is it?
Outside.
Outside what?
Visible object is here.
Just here now.
Forgetting about the Mahabhuta Rupa, the four primary rupas. Without the four primary rupas, there cannot be that which can be seen at all. It's there. So there can be the sign of the Mahabhuta Rupa because of that reality that can be seen. Like this. Mahabhuta Rupa only. No shape, no form. Who knows? But since that which can be seen is there in each kalapa, so it conditions shape and form.
Explain a little bit further about what is seen in the kalapa, condition, shape and form.
What is seen now?
It's visible object.
Yes, we call it that. But it is seen. That which is seen is now, at this moment. Close your eyes. Then what? No people.
Okay, I got it.
Ajahn, is this a case where lopa makes it more, is an obstacle to understanding? Because when visible object arises, lopa wants to see more. Like, there is no opportunity for visible object simply to appear as visible object, because lopa arises and immediately grasps at something, like wants to know more about the detail of what is seen and clings to that.
Yes, it can be with ignorance only 3 moments after seeing. As fast as that, it's all there, ready to come out.
Yes.
To be attached instantly from whatever appears. Thinking about 3 moments of citta, so very short. That's why, how great accumulation of ignorance and akusala.
After three moments after
seeing moment, sampatichana, santirana, votapana, and then kusala or akusala.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Who knows? So now we are studying the object or the subject of the teachings that Buddha taught. No other person can teach at all. Don't turn away. Whisper object appears. It's time to understand little by little. The moment of seeing only that sees whisper object.
We are inclined to think that it is too difficult because we get so confused when the eyes are open, that there are so many things appearing. And then when you say visible object, we think, oh, it's really too difficult. We cannot take it out or select it.
That's why the purpose of studying is I will know, or just for the sake of understanding, that's all. No matter how much or how little. Not for me, but just understanding reality as it is. Like from now on, it's time or conditions to understand this word object. Very little at a time, by conditions. No matter how much you try, it doesn't work. Because the self and wrong understanding cannot understand as it is. And you not understand the meaning of letting go at all. Just very little from time to time of understanding.
You say from now on. Then
from now on, yes.
What to do, what to think.
No, not to be attached, no trying. No. That is wrong again. Yeah. From now on.
From now on.
By conditions. Not from not understanding, not hearing, not considering at all. Live with Dhamma, not understanding it at all, from life to life. If, after this life, one spawn, a bird, what about understanding anything? See? Mm-hmm. It's the life that can accumulate understanding.
Is understanding the only useful Dhamma, can we say?
What else can it be?
I like to hear about the three cittas, the bhavanga, and then all the other cittas are the duddhiya, I think.
Mm-hmm, duddhiya.
And then the death citta of the arahant, and right. I found that really helpful to reflect mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
And out of all those cittas, only understanding mm-hmm. is useful.
Because you see that it seems like nothing all the time, just arise and pass away, nothing left. That's all from life to life. So there are tutiya cittas.
And we have a friend who is going through a hard time now, and generally speaking, though it's a story, I find for me there are many happy moments and happy times, and I tried to express to this friend that whether we have happy times or hard times, they're all useless cittas, useless dhammas, unless there's understanding. Mm-hmm. But are there better conditions for understanding when we have health and happiness and comfort and good conditions, or no rules? I know the answer probably is, but it seems to me there are better conditions for understanding when the things are going well.
To have less attachment to the idea of self.
So when we're listening to you, we have less attachment to the idea of self.
Depending on understanding only, no one there.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say it's depending on whether one has good health or bad health now, or happiness or sadness. It just depends on the understanding that's been accumulated.
Any time is so precious, don't select any particular moment.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard when we have a friend who's going through hard times, it's hard to express to them that understanding can be now, but it's the truth.
What about citta, one's own citta at that very moment?
That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Thinking, feeling.
I always like when Nina stresses that when we help other people, we are not thinking about our own well-being, and then we're thinking what we can do to help others. That's another way that we forget about ourselves, for a while at least. But of course there are conditions for that.
Because ignorance and attachment to the idea of self cannot arise at that very moment. But it will later.
How do you know?
As long as it's still there, as conditions. And you know, for sure.
For sure. But that's just thinking. Right now, it's a very nice factory, very pleasant factory.
Thinking again.
With the quality dolls.
Now I have a goal. When I remember when I was a meditator, quite a while ago, I had the same idea of a factory and an assembly line, and being the kind of a monitor who would sit and watch the assembly line as if the cheetahs that were arising were products passing by on the line that I could observe, and it was just all about self trying to control things. The factory is arising all the time beyond our control.
Produces more wrong understanding.
We had a brief discussion talking about the friend with difficulties, and you mentioned that you like to, even though you know that it's conditioned by wrong view, but you like to recommend something like a meditation practice as being a better drug than other kind of drugs. Would you like to make that into a question?
Well, I think if there's a life or death situation, which it is with this friend, if there is a medical evidence that what is said to be meditation can help produce pleasant sensations that could replace a deadly drug, I would think, yes, sure, to try to prevent him from dying. I wouldn't fear recommending, especially since he has understanding of Dhamma and would be able to see, hopefully, that it isn't bhavana and it isn't kusala, but it is a substitute for his pleasures that are killing him slowly. But I don't really know if it's a it's not Dhamma, it's akusala. We could be talking about yoga, or we could be talking about swimming, or we could be talking about any kinds of healthy lifestyle. So it's a kind of yoga, really, is what I'm thinking of. And it would help him. That's all. Yoga, exercise, swimming, it helps everybody. So I don't really think it's a relevant topic unless yoga or swimming is.
Do you see, do you not see any difference between, say, swimming as an exercise and what you call metta meditation, where you're sitting and concentrating on trying to have metta to your friends?
No, this isn't metta meditation. Okay. This is yoga. It's using the breath to create, get in touch with certain energies. I wouldn't recommend meditation.
That
to
was
anyone.
What you used when we were talking yesterday. That was what you mentioned. In
I mentioned that the last time I met Ajahn, when Jessica was here, we were talking about meditation. But that's not what I was recommending to our friend.
And I heard you and Maeve having a chat about experiencing colors and energies. Would you like to say anything about
that? Again, where that was talking about yoga, I don't really think it's any more relevant than swimming or studying Japanese or anything else.
For me, my yoga is just a physical exercise like swimming, but from your conversation, it was more about experiencing the energies and the
chakras,
colors and the
like
chakras
that.
So
I think it was really a discussion about some of the theories behind some of the yoga practices, but that was all it was about. So really,
I think it's a physiological thing. It's an interesting hobby, but I don't relate it to Dhamma, though.
Can there be the understanding of reality at that moment? When there are conditions. So hearing and accumulating understanding is the best thing, because it can understand any reality at any time.
I heard you talking a lot about, I always have trouble pronouncing, yoga, an aspect of Dhamma, and I was wondering why you chose to emphasize that.
Because usually there's no understanding of any level of kusala and akusala. Just thinking about I have learned a lot this life. It's yoga.
I thought yoga was an aspect of lopa or
dana. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Related to, but isn't that just one example you gave that could refer to any kinds of objects?
To remind that no matter what you are talking or thinking about, never out of the idea of self or me, especially if you think of yourself, how much you know or how less you don't know.
So we are yoked to our
idea of self.
Like the dog running around the, mm-hmm. the post.
As you talked about yoke and yoka, so I heard you mentioned about that together with asava, oka, and yoka as something like in different levels, different aspects, but also different levels of.
Because even lopa itself, there are so many, many levels beyond we can talk about in details that this is this or this is that. For example, when you might not realize that you are thinking with the idea of self, But whatever you're thinking is about the self. So it's not like asava, which now arises unknown. But when there is the idea of something, no matter what about, concerning me, deeply rooted, never get away from yoga. If there is no understanding, why such question is about. If there is no idea of self, no such question.
So asava is the kilesas which arise when the sense, whenever there's sense experiences.
Whenever it's time, like moment of kusala and akusala.
Mm-hmm.
But akusala is asava, not kusala.
You can't. You can't say asavas arise whenever the sense experiences, because they're always akusala.
Mm-hmm.
So only when there are
akusala
jitas.
Mm-hmm.
And the four asavas are kamasava, the clinging to sense objects, bhavasava, clinging to becoming, ditasava, wrong view, and abhijasava, which is moha or ignorance. And we were mentioning this morning that the asavas are so subtle that they even arise in the sense or experience, even ditti. So that's how common and frequent and unknown it is. And then when we're talking about the ogas and yogas like we were in Vietnam, they're the same chetasikas. It's still talking about loba, ditti, and moha,
mm-hmm.
but they are more obvious or stronger,
mm-hmm.
but even now, are they apparent? Unless they are nibbaranas or strong, stronger degree, usually still unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But the asavas are the most subtle.
And
nibbaras, hindrances, yes.
And why do you mention that?
Because usually, for example, when loba is obvious in a day, like when you love the food and are enjoying it, then it's nivarana. But when it's ogre or yoga, it's not as obvious.
And yoga is when it's manifested in deeds and speech? Is it?
Not necessarily.
So it means that oha and yoga are stronger than asava.
Yes.
Stronger.
Yes.
In intention. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you explained that whatever we are thinking, it's related to the self. But I don't know much about it, and I would like to hear
when
more.
When it's not kusala.
When it is not kusala, yeah. Related to the self, I don't know much about it.
Like, can we understand seeing right now as it is?
No.
See? No. Yoga.
Yes. Is it related to self?
Why not? Can seeing be known, be experienced directly?
No.
Doesn't concern me?
I don't know whether I think about that.
But some people might think, can there be the moment of understanding, the arising and falling away of seeing? Such question.
Mm.
See? From who?
The self questions then, you mean?
Not away from yoke.
Not away from the self?
From the yoke.
Which yoke?
When it's bound to karma, attachment, and becoming, and so forth.
Because even if there is no wrong view arising at that moment, behind it, behind the question, there is clinging to
self and one's understanding and knowing,
yes.
Knowing the arising and falling away.
One isn't freed from the idea of self yet,
no.
As long as Sotapattimagga does not arise.
But it's really hard to understand and to know.
To know that never, it's impossible to escape from akusala of any level.
Adan, just to return to visit the visible object, and because it appears so frequently in a day, and there is much thinking about
mm-hmm.
what is seen,
yeah.
But the thinking is mostly about people and things,
yes.
And so that is making that yoke stronger, like the idea of self. Is getting stronger and stronger by not understanding that it is simply visible object, but always every moment that it is there reinforcing the idea of self. So does that sit underneath that idea of being yoked to the self, that the experiences are yoked to the idea of self?
When one asks such question, for whom?
For clarity about...
If it's for the sake of understanding, it's not you, because it's
yes.
Kusala.
Yes.
But when it's just wanting, hoping, clinging...
Not particularly.
So it's not, that's all.
Mm.
Kusala is kusala, akusala is akusala.
Mm.
After hearing about visible object, if there is no idea, when can I experience it's not yoke?
Mm. What are the conditions that enable that experience?
Hearing that more, understanding more.
Mm. That kind of thinking.
No expectation kind of thinking. For the moment when it arises. We don't know when. But as there are conditions, there can be result or moment of understanding.
But Ajahn, are you saying that just by hearing, for example, the words, how can there be that, just from those words, we can say that it's a yoke question.
Because if one would know why this question comes.
But how can anyone except the person who's asking the question?
It doesn't matter at all, because it arises in false ways. We just talk about the truth when it's clinging to the idea of me, how. Can, when, concern oneself. So one's not away from the idea of self. Even the question is another form of questions. Like the person who study the teachings and have examination to get marks or degrees.
The right answer.
Yoke or not yoke?
What if we ask, how does seeing arise? And
just for the sake of understanding, not for the idea of self, just liking or wanting so much to has it happen.
But if it was, how can there be less lopa after seeing, that's a yoke question.
So that person can understand oneself better.
Clinging to herself.
Not clear about the distinction between yoka and yoke.
I think yoke is just the English symbol for that is used in translation.
Oka is flat, and then yoke is yoke.
Yeah.
So, could you please make the distinction?
Like we're talking about when it's not clear enough and one thing that is not there but is there. Fine, very fine string. But still, it's a yoke.
When one is like
the binding one in samsara, the keeping one stuck at that moment, because it's when, for example, when it's like clinging to a result, it's binding one at that moment.
Would you please give an example?
So, for example, like when one's enjoying the food so much loba, lost in the flood of loba. Like, for example, now trying to get the answer, trying to be aware, then I think more of yoke. But I don't think we can say that yokes or ogas or yogas are necessarily stronger, just different aspect that's more predominant, that's all. But definitely it's stronger than asava. Like when one asks a question like Maeve asked, and it doesn't seem that there's any loba, no yoke, but what about the subtle asavas in between?
In order to know whether that moment is kusala or akusala. Otherwise one might think that that is kusala. But actually it can be yoke instead of kusala.
Like asking a question about visible object, it seems like it's kusala, but the yoke and the is so often there, and the asavas in between, so subtle, so one cannot assume anything.
But it's important to keep asking questions and not worry.
For the sake of understanding,
yeah.
Important to keep asking questions and not worrying about it.
Yeah.
It's just the natural way.
One keeps quiet and one's thinking about the point or the question and still yokes and asavas there. So it's not a matter of not asking, or it's not a matter of keeping quiet or changing the behavior, but it's just to become more familiar, to understand more about the nature of how common, ordinary such akusala dhammas are.
It's like opening the truth.
And ditti oka? There's also oka, which is ditti oka, right? Because you mentioned about loba oka.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what about the flood of ditti?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how great, how thick, how deep avijja is? Great, deep, dirty, or aspects? These are aspects, yeah. This is aspects of, no matter it is asva, oka, or yoga.
And no matter whether it's talking about avijja or
ditti or any other asava or yoga, so common, very common. Like we were talking this morning, if there can be such common ditti, even whilst we're having a Dhamma discussion with a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how much ditti there can be at other times when nothing known about it.
And when there's the understanding of asava, do you have to name it? Oh, this is asava. Oh, you know, at that very moment, that is there. Otherwise, arahata cannot eradicate asava. But lokutra citta eradicates the akusala stage by stage.
Yes, but before that, those realities can be known, we need to hear about all those things mm-hmm. and then consider...
Yeah, ingredient mm-hmm. for a moment of enlightenment.
So back to the question that we raised yesterday, I'm wondering about can ditti arise at the in the sense door process?
Where is the asava?
We learned that it comes from the sense door process,
even
in the sense door mm-hmm. process. But because when we read about the description of ditti, it said that first there's like taking to be something, and then
without words.
Without words.
Without words.
But then also
that
like,
is ditti.
Like thinking that it's right, so it seems to be like too complicated process for the sense door process, and because at the sense door process only the rupa is experienced. So I have a hard time to imagine how ditti can arise there.
When it's accumulated and it can't emulate it, can't it arise? When time comes, it oozes because they're whole for its arising. See? Something there.
And that's what asava means, to ooze out. And how much time does it take for ditti to arise and wrongly know the object? It takes no time at all.
Otherwise, how can it be eradicated when it's still there as asava?
In sense door process, it would arise after the first three
when it's
jittas,
kusala
when it's
or akusala, but when it has to be akusala for kilesa,
and it would then take the say for seeing, for instance, take the visual object for something.
It is attached immediately.
It is attached immediately with ditti.
No one can control. It's always there in the citta. Ready to come out.
Mm-hmm. And ditti would attach. Lopa attach.
Asava? For asava?
Yes.
Anyone?
Okay, ditti asava.
If the ditti is completely eradicated, it cannot arise even as asava,
right.
But the other asava still can arise. You see that there is nothing appearing at all, right? Like while one is fast asleep. But when there is anything just appear, before you can know that what is there, there is attachment. Asava. Or avicca or ditti, depending on conditions and accumulation. Because you don't have to think that it's me, but clinging with the idea of self is there. Otherwise, that cannot be eradicated at all. If there is no moment of taking something for me, how can Panya know that it's wrong? That's why the Vipassanayana can understand ditti, that no word, whatever is there belongs to me. Hardness somewhere in the body. See, there is still the idea of the body, my body from head to toe. And hardness is there. So at moment when it appears, it's me. Even you don't say it out. Clinging instantly to that object, as usual. But it's not when it does not arise. Only when it arises, it clings with the idea that no need to say, speak out at all. But you take, there is the moment of taking that for me. Otherwise, where's me? See, no me at all. But it's not that level of understanding of no self completely. So whatever appears, it's hard, but the idea of self is me or my hardness, my body, until no body, only hardness appear as just hardness. And so you can see that if reality appears only one at a time, completely, without the idea of me or mine, deeply rooted, then there is moment of becoming, letting go, the idea of self. At that very moment, not by thinking that I will let go, the idea of self.
Can one say at that moment, for example, at that moment of Ditya's asava, idea of me or something, not necessarily?
Because you see that even hearing right now, and Panya is not strong enough, there is something related to me until no more relation.
So the Ditya at that
point, yeah,
is always related to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's said that all kinds of other wrong view stem from the mm-hmm. idea of Sakaya Ditya.
Even as asava, see?
Even as asava. Mm.
So asava refer only to the defilements that arise at the sense door? So the
And what about minda?
No, I'm just asking actually. I don't know, yeah.
At this moment, whisper object is appearing to what door?
To eye door.
Only?
I don't know, you can't say.
Only?
Visible object.
Yeah.
And then to my door.
So can you separate, distinguish them?
No.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Same Dharma. So
in sense to all mind.
But by definition?
So it does mean that asava arises only through sense door, or asava can arise only through mind door.
But it arises?
Yeah. When it's not known as asava or kilesa, but it's there. Like now, who knows? After seeing there is attachment already before it goes to sense to mind door. Before that, who knows? And after mind door, again, sense door or eye door, who knows?
Can one say that it is
asava arises, sense door or mind door, before there is thinking about the object?
Before knowing what is what, it takes many processes. How many processes here? Mm. Kun Ann, Kun Ashita, anyone?
I find it very helpful that you said that you can take things for self without saying it out, without words, mm-hmm. without using words.
Because at moment of thinking or trying to name it, it's not the moment of experiencing that.
The wrong view can arise even that before the thinking about idea of self, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Otherwise, we think that to eliminate it is not difficult at all. But actually, so very, very difficult. Comparing to many, many lives that we have accumulated, all ignorance and attachment. So it cannot be eradicated just by in few lives or few words.
It's when we hear about this great flood of akusala through so many lifetimes accumulating, it's hard to understand how, in what way, understanding can penetrate all that great mass of akusala, and how how awakening.
It started to grow at the moment of hearing the truth.
The understanding. We were talking a bit about this yesterday. This is almost, it's just conceptual, this conceiving of a great mass of akusala, mm-hmm. and just a few tiny pinpoints of understanding.
Yeah. So you can understand like what's meant by the right path. Mm-hmm. See, it's not as easy as people think. Because it's the path of detachment only.
Actually, Ajahn, you mentioned at lunchtime about it being like a wall, a very strong wall that cannot be penetrated with the only panya.
Can also with luck.
With locked, that's right. It's locked, it's a wall, it's locked. And
that's yoke. That's yoke.
And what is it that responds to this discussion with discouragement?
A reality. Remember that. No one only. A reality, different ones.
But I think what I'm asking is, what is the jetasika that becomes discouraged? It's obviously accompanied by a kusala. But it is easy to become discouraged. I don't know if you were.
But I think that even have time to hear so great, we don't have to think of, oh, when and how can it be something like that, see? Having heard, great opportunity, like people in Dipankarana Sammasambuddho, when Sumedha was, Buddha, Dipankon said that he would become Buddha in such long eons and years. People in that days, so happy to know that if they could attain enlightenment in this Buddha's time, there's still time for them to become enlightened. And who knows who were there? Dipankara Sammasambuddho, around here, we don't know.
And in fact, I suppose it comes back to the first noble truth, which is the realization of dukkha and the pain and suffering that is caused from the idea of self. That
what do you mean by pain?
Well, the suffering.
What do you mean by suffering?
The defilements and the akusala that.
What about the kusala?
No, I'm relating this back to when we talked about the wall of that is so difficult to penetrate. It seems to me that to understand that or to acknowledge that is that understanding of the first noble truth, that there is suffering, because before we hear the teachings, we do not think it is suffering.
There noble suffering is the arising and falling away of all conditioned realities. No matter it's happy feeling or bad feeling or anything. All are included, all conditioned realities, because it arises and it falls away in split seconds. No more, never come back, but it can condition ignorance and attachment on and on to that which has gone completely, until one can see that life is just that, to be born, seeing, thinking, hearing, smelling, tasting, eating, sleeping, different situations, happy or unhappy, that's all. And then between hours, there is sleep. No more, completely gone. Where are those moments that we think that is so very important in life? But when time comes, it's completely gone, like this life. No matter how happy we are from day to day, or unpleasant feeling from day to day, all gone. Just arise to be object of ignorance and attachment. So what the use of experiencing all these reality at this moment? And by understanding this, it is the beginning of seeing dukkha, the arising and falling away of realities. It can arise at any time, seeing the dukkha, just in a moment. And it does not belong to anyone. No one can control. If one is not tired of experiencing in a day, from day to day, no opportunity to understand what's meant by dukkha. So each khanda, each conditioned reality is dukkha, because it just arises in false way, not at will, but by conditions only. It's time to born, it's time to die, it's time to eat, it's time to sleep, it's time to move, it's time to think. But the idea of I will do is there, until no one can do, because the factory is working. Even at this moment, citta cetasikas arise, perform their functions, that's all.
So it's about a lot of idea of I.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not understanding what ever appear is characteristic of ignorance, right?
As a conditioned reality in a moment. Only a moment. And how many moments are now? Uncountable. So we can understand the panya of the Buddha and his teachings and his compassion to share, to teach, to let the other be able to understand whatever appears. But it needs parami, patience. Who can stop hearing? But who knows that no one there who hears pass on with ignorance and attachment? Uncountable. Asava, oka.
Only the moment that panya arises, it knows itself, that's
understanding. From hearing, considering, developing.
Away ignorant.
Until it can understand anything now as a reality.
Otherwise, ignorance and ignorance.
Otherwise, no moment to realize the arising and fall away, the first noble truth, dukkha. See, arise, no understanding or understanding, only that very natural.
Are you familiar with the three kinds of dukkha? For example, dukkha is what you were referring to, which is unpleasant
mental feeling or bodily feeling, and this is what people often refer to as suffering, dukkha dukkha, and this was known without the Buddha's assistance. And then the second kind of dukkha is the viparinama dukkha, which is referring to the change, because the pleasant feeling doesn't last, it falls away, so actually it's dukkha as well, because it doesn't last for an instant, so that's viparinama dukkha. And then the third kind of dukkha is the dukkha that the Buddha taught in the First Noble Truth, the referring to all conditioned dharmas which arise and fall away and which are therefore unsatisfactory or worthless. So this is the third kind of dukkha that refers to all conditioned realities.
I think it was actually the third type that I was referring to in relation to that, I guess, example of how strong the idea of self is, like going back to the locked barrier, that there is that kind of, like, thinking about that conditions some level of understanding about how much pain that can, unpleasantness can come from just thinking about how difficult that experience is, how difficult that task is. And Ajahn said, so we are so fortunate that we have the teaching, so it's that then I suppose that's the truth about that there is a path. So I was relating it in the sense of an understanding or a realization of just how extensive the pain of this life is, and how easy it is to be discouraged. But Ajahn, it was like a reminder that it doesn't just stop there. There is, the Buddha has taught us that there is the key to
unlock.
Yes. So I suppose that maybe I didn't explain it that clearly, but thank you for describing the types, and I think it was probably the third type.
And it's so very particular, because the word is said, this is dukkha. This is dukkha. So this is just a reality. What this? Seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, see? Panya develops so it can understand each reality as it is, naturally.
I think it's very helpful to
consider about how all conditioned dharmas are actually dukkha or unsatisfactory, because otherwise, like in Phil's example, why one might have the idea that when things are quite pleasant and the seeing and pleasant feeling, that somehow it's different in that sense from when things are difficult and there's a lot of discouragement and unpleasant feeling. But actually, in the ultimate sense, no matter it's pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, kusala vipaka, is all equally unsatisfactory, because all those dharmas fall away instantly. So there's...
The taste is very good, very pleasant, but if there is no letting go, how can they be understanding it next moment after this? See? So Panya must be so very precise and letting go, so the other reality can appear to right understanding. Otherwise, asava is there.
Asava, and then the yoga starts mm-hmm. taking hold. Yeah.
What is it that lets go?
Panya only. Otherwise, you try to letting go, but it's fake. Yes. Dukkha. Dukkha Ariya Satcha. So no matter it's so pleasant or so hot or so hard, just in a moment. It's just so natural. Reality can appear to sati. So one knows that at that moment, no need to do anything.
How can kusala this help in the development of panya?
Because if kusala does not arise, akusala arises. Ignorance, attachment, which cannot understand anything at all.
But there also kusala without understanding.
Mm-hmm. No understanding, even if kusala. So it's sankhara of the cycle of birth and death.
So in that case, how can it better than akusala? If kusala without understanding, is it better than akusala?
But not me. Panya can see what is right and what is wrong, what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. And panya leads the way to wholesomeness.
But if there's no panya, so it cannot lead to the right way.
It can have kusala by conditions, but no understanding of what kusala is.
So is your question like, how does kusala, like dana and sila and samatha, how does it support development of panya?
Yes.
Can avijja understand reality? Can attachment understand? Can ditti understand wrong understanding? See? That's why only panya with kusala realities arising together.
Don't we say that panya can take any reality as its object?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even if there's dosa, there can be panya of dosa, or if the object, if there's visible object, which is rupa. So it. So I'm wondering if we perhaps have the idea when we think about kusala as a support for satipatthana, we are thinking of them being close in time, proximity in time, but that may not be anything to do with it at all.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, if kusala is the object of panya, so in that case, akusala also the object of panya. So what is the difference between kusala and akusala at that time?
As object? No different.
Mm.
No difference at all as object. No difference between nama as object and rupa as object of panya, either.
Can other kusala or some reality eradicate wrong understanding?
No.
No.
I think you asked this question because you heard Achan say that we need all the kusala to support panya to develop. Is that right?
Because at that moment there is no avijja and all other akusala, cetasikas.
all those wholesome factors condition each other at that moment. Panya can't perform its function without the support of Hiri and Otapa and all the other kusala factors.
It's like in the parami.
Like the parami.
I was thinking of the parami. Yes. That's a
support of necessary. Like she was talking about Virya this morning. Yes.
But the parami have to have Panya, I think. Yes. Otherwise it's useless.
When there is no panya, can it lead to the eradication of akusala?
No.
So maybe when the kusala is done, it can have more. It can create more conditions to have the chance to listen to the Dhamma.
At that moment, there is no attachment, no aversion. No ignorance, see, all akusala realities cannot arise. So it's time for akusala to develop non-attachment. It will lead to more and more non-attachment. Even attachment to the idea of self. But you see that it's beyond expectation because the person who could become enlightened to the level of Sotapanna, before that, there can be any other akusala, like stinginess or so forth. So it's beyond thinking how much that person has accumulated ingredient of panya parami enough to become enlightened, together with akusala. Different realities, so it depends on other conditions too, like hearing the Buddha's word can condition what kusala with panya that one has accumulated enough to understand.
So I wanted to clarify about one point that I read about the importance of doing good deeds, because it can increase the chance to come across the Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. Even though if one have developed panya a lot and not developing enough good deeds, one can go for a long time in the circle of samsara without coming across the teaching. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand,
because we all have citta, right? And can anyone know about the accumulation of such citta? How much akusala and how much kusala? Unknown. Right? But when kusala deeds has been done more and more and more, the quality of citta is better than moment full of ignorance and ill deeds on and on and on. So black and white, see, or grey, see? What can be conditioned to understand the words of the Buddha, because of usually it has the kusala accumulated enough rather than those akusala. So the words of Buddha can be understood more than those with ignorance and attachment. Like someone can listen to the teachings but think about other things. The whole session.
Mm.
Yes.
So it cannot lead to understanding the words at all. But even so, when panya has been developed, it can understand anything at any time as not self.
But in this example, Tom is talking about other kinds of kusala, such as dana, good deeds which bring good results. But if we're talking about examples of hearing the teachings and considering or just thinking of other things, the thinking of other things is not vipaka anymore. So I think her example is about good deeds as condition for vipaka, so more opportunities to hear in that sense.
I think that there can be good deeds motivated by no understanding,
yes,
or waste understanding. So it depends.
Also, I think I've read in somewhere that good health and general living in comfort is a support for understanding the teachings, because one isn't sort of so worried about other things. And so I can see that good deeds, you know, is a condition in that respect, because good health is a result of good deeds. Yeah, but I wouldn't have thought that actually hearing the Dhamma itself, I would have thought was more a result of study of the teachings in previous lives rather than other sort of good deeds. But there's more than just hearing the teachings, as Ajahn said. There's paying attention, and there's all other circumstances that mean, you know, one is able to benefit from that hearing.
The text that I read say that the development of both the development of understanding and of all kind of kusala deeds are necessary, because all kinds of kusala deeds can give result as having opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. And even if one only do the good deeds and do not develop understanding, if one listen to the Dhamma, one cannot understand. So it say that it has to be to
with
go
understanding.
Yeah, and together is what I read. I think it's so in one book of Lady Sayadaw. Yeah.
At the moment of Dana, there is any understanding about Kusala and Akusala?
Possible. Anytime. Because you see that at that moment, where are the realities? No realities? Or there are realities? So Panya can understand that. It can understand citta, it can understand rupa, anything. Even not at moment of giving or moment of giving. Exactly the same.
Ajahn, why did you write the book about the perfections?
Not me.
Oh, well.
I just talk about.
You talk about it, I know, but...
Yeah.
But
it's compiled, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
There must have been some thinking behind that. What could you
without
talk about?
Without parami, no opportunity for realization, the truth at all. Like now, no one, absolute realities, who realize that without parami. So there can be moment of understanding or moment without understanding, even at moment of good deeds.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's because it's stressed that without the development of other qualities with understanding, such as the virya that was spoken about this morning, satcha parami, aditana, resolution, and so on, understanding cannot develop, so it needs the support of those other paramis. So it's
just talking about how all these paramis have to work together.
Perhaps, Tam, that was partly what you were asking about, is it? How the kusala deeds support the development of panya? Is that related to the paramis? Okay, sorry, I misunderstood.
And one can see the accumulation of right understanding, whether it can condition good deeds or not. Even now we know about the benefit of kusala, but does one do any kusala deed today? Beyond expectation, because it's the function of reality, is citta and cetasikas. And when it's the right path, it conditions detachment. No clinging, no waiting or hoping, wishing anything at all. Because it's the way Dharma is, seeing, hearing, thinking, like or dislike. Each move is conditioned by accumulation. Wherever I sit, yeah, watching TV or here or there, don't try to lock accumulation. Not to appear to arise by lobha, wanting something to happen. Try to sit, watching, virya, try to understand whatever appears the whole night. One cannot experience the natural accumulation, so it's impossible to eradicate that which has been accumulated. Remember that it's quicker than anyone can do anything. All realities, like now, seeing sees, suddenly, immediately, hearing hears, thinking thinks, awareness arises, it is aware.
So sometimes we tend to stop our kusalas
because the idea of self,
want to be good people, or lobha.
Otherwise, there will never be the understanding of lobha should be eliminated or eradicated. The second truth. Lobha for the result, lobha to sit, lobha to think, it can be always there. As we once said, talk about comparing lobha with the space in between kalapa through each doorway.
But also the idea that just letting akusala to arise is also...
Who let?
Any choice?
It has happened. Even thinking like that already arise and fall away.
I see it's very subtle between the two ideas. It's like letting or not letting or something. But
it's not you, but panya only can let go attachment.
Yes.
Because of understanding precisely, more precise and more precise. Like nama, see, it's not just the word. At this very moment, that which experiences all the time. Otherwise, there's no life at all.